Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
So excited. We've got Clyde Lewis from Ground Zero, our sister station, KXL. You can listen to him syndicated across the universe on the radio, 7 p.m. to midnight, Monday through Friday. His show airs. Were you in an Uber or a taxi? What happened? You found a new listener.
I was in a Lyft, and this guy was talking to me about how he really enjoys when I come on your show, because he says he listens to you religiously, and he says that he listen to me at night, but he said that he listens to you religiously during the day. And when I come on, he can just get a little taste of what's coming.
Yeah.
And so that's why he does it. So it's pretty amazing.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I like that. I like to hear that. You know what? And I think if the thing is, I get to know you because I'm walking around the building. I walk by your door. I always pop my head in there because there's something new going on. And by the way, yesterday it was this sound that I heard. What am I listening to there?
That is the sound of a fast radio burst that's hitting the planet every 16 days. It was picked up by a Canadian radio telescope, and they don't know what's sending it. It's some object that's sending that signal 500 million light years away. It's finally reaching us. They've come up with all these prosaic ideas as to why it's happening, whether it be binary stars colliding or a planet who has a star passing in front of it that makes that noise, or they're not ruling out aliens either. But the thing is, if aliens are sending that, they're probably already dead. Because, I mean, when you look into the galaxies, you look into the stars, you're looking at the past.
Is there any chance that we have sent that from another time?
Yeah, we could have sent it out, and we're just receiving it again. I mean, there are a lot of things that it could be. I mean, it prompted actually the refiring of something called the Space Fence, which is a protective covering that comes out of one of the atolls. And now, so we have this very powerful ionized fence over the planet to protect us from near Earth objects, bad satellites, bombs, and of course, little gray men or little green men, depending on what side of the tracks you're raised on. So, I mean, they're very serious about this stuff. I mean, they've been debriefing senators, House Armed Services Committee. All these people are going into these closed door meetings and they're talking about UFOs and what they are and what their threat is. I mean, they've been stalking the military now since 2004 and disarming our missile silos. So the difference between what we're dealing with back in the 1940s and the 1950s as opposed to now is that before, these alien beings, whatever they were observing us, not engaging the military. I mean, a couple times, yeah, but not as much. They're not as aggressive. And we've heard stories about, like, abductions and crazy mutilations of cows. But the reality is that now a lot of serious threat assessment going on for national security. And so it's kind of like saying, yeah, there are UFOs out there, but we don't know if they're being piloted by extraterrestrial intelligence. And they don't want to go that far. They certainly want to, though, plant in our minds the idea that we're on our way to some super galactic war out in space.
It's funny because your show, it deals, how do you describe it? Do you say, is it a show that deals with conspiracy theory, lie? What is it? Superstition? What's the tagline?
I have a lot of interest in the paranormal. Primarily, it's me exploring the paranormal. When I get into something like what they call conspiracy theory, I don't call it conspiracy theory. I call it parapolitical intrigue or treachery. I mean, because, you know, it's conspiracy theory is like, okay, I came up with this idea and I'm going to try and push it to see if it works. Theory is theory. So if you have a conspiracy theory and you talk about it, try and keep in mind that it's a theory. Don't believe your own ideas and think they're truths, because a lot of people do that. They say, oh, this is true, and it's not true. But what I do is I take a lot of that speculation and I try to break it down and see if there's any merit to it. And if there is any merit to it, I just, you know, I talk about it. And a lot of it sometimes can sound like I'm politically biased to one side or the other. But a lot of people who are in the business that know me know that I'm not political. And so if I decide I want to, you know, do a little, there's a little conspiracy theory about Trump being a time traveler.
Yeah.
Which there is.
You think he's a time traveler? Or some
I don't know that, if he's a time traveler, but man, there are a lot of crazy stuff. I mean, his Uncle John, I don't know if you know this, but he got all of Nikola Tesla's work. And that included time travel, you know. And there are a lot of things about Donald Trump. There's actually a book that was written in the 1900s about the adventures of Baron Trump. And basically, you know, they have a son named Baron Trump, but Baron Trump becomes the president of the United States, the last president of the United States. And he ends up living in a hotel that in the book is exactly the same address as Trump Tower. So you look at this book that was made at the turn of the 20th century, talking about a guy named Baron Trump, who actually is a time traveler. And then you look at, you know, Mar-a-Lago. And all over Mar-a-Lago, there are these tiles that say Plus Ultra. Now, what's Plus Ultra? Plus Ultra was this fictitious group that met at Disneyland. And they were supposedly time travelers that met at Disneyland under the 33. It's called the 33 Club, which is right below the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Oh, boy.
And they used to meet there all the time and talk about how
now
they were going to change the world.
You're scaring me, man. You're...
And some people say that Donald Trump was one of those people that was selected to be one of the guys that's going to change the world, mover and shaker of the world. And he was a time traveler. But that's speculation. And I don't know if I believe it, but heck, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, there was a 1950s TV show about a guy named Trump that basically told this small town, it's a Western, basically told this small town that he could protect the town if he could just build a wall. And that was in the 1950s.
Yeah.
Even in Heavy Metal magazine, there was a story about Donald Trump wanting to build a wall, and it was a comic strip, wanting to build a wall in the comic strip in Heavy Metal. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's some spectacular, interesting stuff that I cover and talk about.
Clyde Lewis with us, Ground Zero. He's got a D.B. Cooper pin on his jacket. He's mostly in black.
Yeah.
He's got his hair. You got a good head of hair up there, man.
A lot of hair.
Yeah.
Right now.
Let me ask you about the Super Bowl. Somebody told me you were going off on the Super Bowl halftime show. What's going on with that?
Well, every year I do a thing about the Super Bowl. I talk about the commercials that play, and I talk about the halftime show. And a lot of people don't know this, but the Super Bowl is always played during a witch's holiday called Imbolc. It's I-M-B-O-L-C, Imbolc. It's basically the day of Brigid, which is this goddess that is supposed to feed the ewes with milk. It's kind of a strange witch's holiday. And they always get together, and when they do, the halftime shows usually have a lot of symbolism that people don't pick up on, and it's symbolism that's usually, a lot of people say it's Illuminati. It's the Illuminati that's backing all this stuff. I don't think it's the Illuminati. I think that when they do the halftime show, many of them know that they have all these people watching, and so they turn entertainment into sort of a primal theater, and it's touching on people's unconscious minds. It's like, there's a reason why we're, you know, attracted to Star Wars, because there are archetypes in Star Wars that we all relate to. When it comes to the Super Bowl, a lot of archetypes exist, like, you know, you have teams that are representations of, like, warring countries.
Mm-hmm.
You have the gladiators, the breads and circuses of Rome. You have all this stuff going on. And then the halftime show is kind of like the gathering to send a message to somehow bring about change in ideas and everything else. And so when J-Lo and Shakira got up and did their thing, what they were doing is they were saying, we're invoking the divine feminine. Well, the divine feminine came from Brigid, the very woman that the day is set aside for, the witch's holiday called Imbolc. And one of the things that's interesting is that I knew that the ritual was going on the minute that Shakira came out and she put a knot around her wrists, the knot of Brigid. It was called the knot of Brigid. And basically, it was opening up the ceremony. The stage, when she was on the stage, fire comes up from the stage as if she's coming from the depths of hell. And she's standing there with Brigid's knot. And then she comes in and she's wearing this red dress, which is kind of like the red symbolizing of the whore of Babylon coming up from the underworld. And she's doing this type of provocative dancing that was, similar to, would be like a fertility rite and ritual. And then, of course, you see on the stage, there are these poles. Everybody says, oh, stripper poles and everything else. But what they had is they had eight of them. And there's something called, it's where the ancient pillars of basically hold heaven in place from hell. And they're called, Apex Mundi, no, Axis Mundi is what they call it. Axis Mundi, which is holding up the poles. And it shows, it's weird. She got on the pole, J-Lo did, and then she holds her hands out like she's being crucified, which everybody caught that. And it is, it's a representation of the pillars. And then in the middle of the pillar is something called the Mua. And the Mua is like the maypole. And they always would either use fertility rites for the maypole, or they would do what is known as a mock crucifixion to the goddess, the triune goddess. So, I mean, there are all these weird things, besides the fact that it was overly sexualized, but all these weird things that went on during the Super Bowl. And if you go back and you watch it, you'll see all these things I'm talking about, which are part of ancient ritualism. And they were doing it for everybody to see at the Super Bowl.
Clyde Lewis with us, Ground Zero. It's not a Friday the 13th, but I wanted to bring him on. Tonight's show, you're going to talk. He's, again, 7 p.m. to midnight on our sister station, KXL. You can also find his podcast, Ground Zero. But tonight you're going to talk about Antarctica, is that right?
No, I'm talking about the Arctic Circle.
The Arctic Circle. What's going on there?
Well, if you remember, Adam Schiff, when he spoke the second day of the impeachment hearings, he said, the reason why we gather Ukrainian intelligence is because that way we can fight Russia over there and not over here. He was intimating, or he was basically implying that Russia was planning an attack on the United States, or we're already at war with Russia fighting something. And no one knows that there's a secret war with Russia. Because every time I'm saying, well, we're not at war with Russia. Why is everybody acting like we are? Well, I did some investigating and found out that the Arctic Circle, as we speak, is being turned into a garrison for Russia. They have all these resources up there that they're protecting, and we want a piece of the action. And so what's going on is that, do you remember, like, last year there was a Russian submarine that basically caught fire, and it was in the Barents Sea. And when about 14 sailors died in that mishap, and when the Russians, when they had the funerals for the sailors, one of the leaders said that what they did should be considered heroism because they prevented a planetary disaster. Now, what is the planetary disaster that they avoided? A nuclear war with the United States. And so what's going on in the Barents Sea right now is that there is a fight going on for resources, oil, hydrocarbon credits, all those things. And they want to make a Strait of Hormuz, but they want to make it there in the Arctic. So what they're doing is they're heating up areas of the Arctic so they can cut through the ice to make this causeway where they can bring their ships through. And we are, like, not into that. So deep state operatives are out there investigating this. And I'm saying that if things get out of hand, we could easily see a war break out between Russia and the United States and several of the allies up there in the North Pole.
All right, I have a couple more minutes. That D.B. Cooper pin on your shirt, that badge on your shirt.
Yes.
Is D.B. Cooper still out there?
No, he's not.
Dead?
He's dead. Well, the reason why I wear a D.B. Cooper pin is because I had a relationship, a man that I knew, a guy that, not a relationship, I had a kind of a business relationship with this guy who was a priest. His name was Wolfgang Gossett. And he did a paranormal show in Utah, in Bountiful, Utah, back, when I was like 14, 15 years old. And he used to take me on ghost hunts. And before he died, he made this statement that he was D.B. Cooper. And he lived in Depot Bay. Hmm. He moved to Depot Bay after I moved to Oregon. And he made the statement that he was D.B. Cooper. And there was a lawyer from Alaska who actually believed his story, came down. I knew the guy. And the minute I knew that Wolfgang Gossett was a suspect, I actually went on I was invited to come to a river gathering over at Tina's Bar, where they found the $250,000 and they were looking for his parachute. But, he had already died. He died, I think, in, like, 2003. But his name was Wolfgang Gossett. And a good friend of mine who basically taught me everything I know about the paranormal. So if anybody asks who trained me to be such a weird guy and looking into this stuff, I always say D.B. Cooper.
I love that.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, I appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah, it was a great time.
And we love having you on, of course. I feel like I'm bugging you when I drag you on. Because there was one, I think like last year, we had a bunch of unusual Friday the 13th. It just kept happening.
Right.
You were on like three or four times in a...
Yeah,
like
we
a,
had, I think like four in 1 year.
Yeah.
And
is that unusual, like to have that many?
It can be, yeah. We're going to have a lot of great moons this year. That's a interesting thing. A lot of the moon stuff going on. So it'll be a moony type of year. But
we'll
2020 is going to be bizarre. It's going to be a bizarre year.
Can we bring you back and talk about it on one of these
sure. Whatever, shows whenever up? You want to. Whenever something right. strange happens in the world you want to get my opinion on, I'd love to talk about
we'll
it.
We'll do it again.
All right.
Craig Cheek of the Portland Diamond Project, Major League Baseball to Portland. He'll be coming up top of the hour. Leave it here. A lot of good discussion on today's show about sports, some non-sports discussion as well. That's the kind of show we do. We will be talking baseball with the Major League Baseball to Portland founder, Craig Cheek. He founded the Portland Diamond Project. They had a big announcement today. It involved the carousel that formerly sat at Jansen Beach. And look, I know Harry Glickman listens to this show, which means a lot to me. Harry, I know you're out there. I know you're listening. He told me he listens to the show every day, and I appreciate that. And the founding father of the Trailblazers did more than just found the Trailblazers. He brought NFL exhibition games to Portland. He brought boxing, the Delta Dome project that very nearly resulted in the Seahawks becoming the Portland Seahawks instead of the Seattle Seahawks. All of those things had Harry Glickman's fingerprints on them, and it was in part because he was a guy that just decided that he was going to make big plans, and I like that about him. And I've often wondered, like, when you look into the San Francisco Giants being a team that moved from Candlestick Park to their current location in San Francisco, in high rent district in San Francisco, not that far from the Pac-12 headquarters, the Giants getting there was the brainchild of Larry Bear, who decided, hey, man, let's swing big. Let's try to build a downtown ballpark. And people in the Bay Area said, oh, the city's not going to fund it. This isn't going to happen. They got it done. And I have wondered for years. I said, where's our Larry Bear? Well, Harry Glickman is our Larry Bear. Merritt Paulson is our Larry Bear. You've got Craig Cheek and the Diamond Project trying to move a mountain. It's a really easy thing to go into the gymnasium, try it at your local gym tonight, walk into the free weight section, pick out the biggest dude in the section, guy would probably rip your head off if you said anything bad to him, wait till he picks up a big weight and then start barking at him and say, ah, you can't do it, you won't lift it. There is something to be said for an entity that is trying to make big plans. So I'm not like banging the drum here, but I'm optimistic that the Diamond Project has the right people involved. And I'm optimistic that they've got a plan. And now we have renderings today that not just don't just include the stadium. They also include the old Jansen Beach carousel.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald-Faced
Truth. Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.